all, you guys. Welcome to episode 9 of the Huddle Up podcast for KCR Radio at San Diego State. I am here again with Nicole Beckelman and Jake Burton. We are really excited to go ahead and start this episode. There's not as much drama going on, but we're going to make some. We're gonna have some hot takes over here. Okay, so let's start with the NBA. I honestly just want to kick it off with the Jazz, because the Jazz, I wouldn't say necessarily completely surprised me, but watching their runs recently have been super insane. I feel like in the beginning, or at least 2 weeks ago, Nicole asked us who we're going to pick for the championship, and they were not ones that I threw in there. But Jake had this, I love the way he phrased this. He said, Utah Jazz, the contenders or pretenders. So let's start off with that conversation.
The Utah Jazz, okay. So everybody's talking about them right now. They've won, I think, 21 of their last 22. Easily the hottest team right now in the NBA. Easily team playing the best team ball of any team in the NBA right now. Is very obvious. And this team is very hashtag fun to watch. And I mean, the ball movement is crazy. The shooting has been lights out over this stretch run. I mean, they have seven guys who can legitimately shoot the three ball, and they have five guys averaging over 40% shooting, which is remarkable. I mean, you just don't see that kind of scoring versatility, at least from a shooting perspective, on the average team, or at least even the average contender, I feel like. So the Utah Jazz, they make it very hard, difficult for teams to defend them when they have so much action with these ball screens off Rudy Gobert. They utilize Rudy Gobert so well for the one guy that doesn't shoot threes on the team. They use him to get screens and that circle cut action going, double screens even at times, get guys open. And as they just pass the ball so much around the perimeter, at some point, they will get the defense out of position and somebody will be open. And they always take advantage of that. It's been really fun to watch. But my question with the Utah Jazz is, can they win games when they're not shooting well? We haven't really seen that because they've been shooting the ball lights out once again. You know, 21 of the last 22 games, majority of those games, they have been shooting just incredibly well. And when the shots aren't falling for Donovan Mitchell, who is looking like he's trying to assert himself right now in this MVP conversation, when the shots are not falling for him, what do those games look like towards the end? And can they pull out those close games? I mean, Jordan Clarkson has been unbelievable, and he's also been shooting the ball incredibly well and making plays for them. But again, when the three ball is not going for them specifically, how will those games turn out? Can they pull off those close games, especially when you have experienced teams like the Lakers, the Clippers, and other teams in the West, with the West being even more competitive this year? So I don't know. The Utah Jazz, they are an interesting team, but I'm not sure if I'm ready to call them a true contender right now.
Yeah, I totally agree with Jake. They're playing great basketball right now. They're on a good winning streak. I mean, Rudy Gobert is playing super well. His game against the Clippers the other night, he got 23 points and 20 rebounds. Him and Donovan Mitchell played great together. I think they're definitely have a good rhythm, but like Jake said, I don't know. They're looking like they're contenders. I don't know if they'll stay.
Yeah, well, my take on the Jazz, this is what I'm thinking, is that they have maybe one superstar in Donovan Mitchell, but when you're looking at teams like the Nets, who have like three MVPs, the Jazz could have the edge in this situation because of their depth. So they have great starting five and then others on the bench too. So when you make it, or you're talking about making it to postseason, especially if you're counting in injuries and stuff, rather than having just three superstars, they do have that depth, that ability to move around players and still keep that synergy. So, I mean, right now, 18 of their wins are by double digits. So like Jake said, like their shooting is insane right now. So while they may not be, oh my gosh, they're going to win the entire NBA conference, I honestly think that when you're talking about depth, that they will be able to hold through throughout the playoffs. So they'll be a good team to watch definitely coming up. And then speaking about the Nets. Yeah. So a couple of days ago, the Nets played the Suns. They won 128 to 124. And so this is what I want to talk about the Nets, because they've been the hot commodity very recently. But again, like when we're talking about those three superstars and like maybe too many cooks in the kitchen, like are they gonna be able to keep that synergy, and who's gonna have to take a back seat with that? What I thought was really interesting was KD and Kyrie were both out, and James Harden was able to step up. He scored, I think, 21 points for them to win by 4 points. So in my opinion, so for the Nets, they have three superstars and two of them were out, you still have another one to play for you. And so that's why I think no matter what, even if they're going to have like KD take a backseat, that you still have at least one superstar power to carry that team through. So I still think that even if the Nets, maybe there's too much to handle, that they'll be able to make it to the end.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that's kind of what we saw with the Warriors a few seasons. Like Clay was out with an injury, or Katie was out with an injury, and, you know, there was Steph to carry them. There was Green to carry them. I think when you have such, you know, three amazing players, then you know, you're going to have a good team no matter what. I agree. I mean, I think that's kind of what we saw with the Warriors a few seasons. Like, Clay was out with an injury, or Katie was out with an injury, and, you know, there was Steph to carry them. There was Green to carry them. I think when you have such, you know, three amazing players, then you know, you're going to have a good team no matter what.
I mean, just jumping in real quick about that Suns game the other night that we saw. So they win by four, and James Harden, he doesn't have KD available, and he doesn't have Kyrie available for this one against a red-hot Suns team. I think they were 9-1 in their last 10 going into that game. They're finally starting to put things together with Chris Paul and all those new pieces, and they make a 24-point comeback, and James Harden drops 38 points, 6 rebounds, 11 assists, and overcomes the incredible obstacle that they were facing. I mean, that was just – I think that was just a testament to James Harden, the change in mindset he's had this season. And, I mean, he had to take on a role for that game that he's had with Houston for so many years, being the main option because he didn't have KD, he didn't have Kyrie available. So he was familiar with being in that kind of situation, I guess. But, I mean, he didn't have a ton of help, and they were still able to get it done on the road. I thought that was very impressive. And then you look at the Nets, what they did to Megan's poor Sacramento Kings a couple of days ago. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's tough. I mean, you have James Harden dropping a triple double, 29 points, 13 rebounds, 14 assists. And then Kyrie Irving, he could not miss a shot. He was shooting 68% from the field, 40 points, 9 threes made. Those are incredible numbers. And it doesn't get much better than that for the Brooklyn Nets. And no KD. So, and there's still no problems there. Even though the Kings, they got some young talent, they're an intriguing team, but they were not much of a problem for the Nets in that one. And it just seems like James Harden and Kyrie have figured out that they can coexist together. And there's this interesting quote from a couple of days ago. Kyrie says, "You're the point guard and I'm the shooting guard now." He said that to James Harden. So James Harden's the point guard, and you're taking the guy that is arguably the best scorer in the NBA, at least from an isolation standpoint, one-on-one, go get a bucket. James Harden's your guy. Now he is the point guard and Kyrie is the shooting guard. I would not have guessed that's the way it would have worked, but that's what they're doing. That's what they're rolling with. And it's absolutely 100% working. And now you have James Harden buying into the culture. And I mean, it's a quick turnaround from Kyrie's last mood swing. The Brooklyn Nets doing a great job. And it's pretty impressive stuff what these guys are able to do when they all buy in. And I can't wait to see now with this new mindset that James Harden has, imagine when KD comes back, they're going to be absolutely unbelievable.
I totally agree. But like you just said, Kyrie's mood swings. Do you think there could be another bump in the road in the future or more drama within the team and the team chemistry?
Oh, there is bound to be something to come up. I wonder if it's going to be a big enough hiccup down the road to really stir up Kyrie again. I think it was more just team chemistry related before or something, you know, because they lost three straight and they just acquired James Harden. They went 6-3 and then I think they lost three straight or something. But now it seems like they got it figured out and they don't need the grown up in the room, KD, to be present on the court for that. So now when KD will come back, it seems like it's going to be even easier for them to win games and pull out games during the regular season at least. I mean, you have Kyrie averaging a career high in points per game, 27.9. And I think that number's even gone up since this was posted a couple days ago. And, you know, James Harden now, he's having career highs in a ton of different statistics that aren't scoring related. And he's including assists per game. It's at 11.3 right now. So these guys are doing unbelievable things. And just when KD comes back, it's going to make it very hard to see. It's very hard to see them losing many more games, especially when they really want to win a competitive game against, you know, at least the contenders in the NBA.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up the Miami Heat really quickly because I don't know if you guys watched the game last night against the Golden State Warriors, but the Heat were winning by double digits at halftime and then ended up losing by, I think, 5 in overtime. So I guess my question for you guys is, do you think after their incredible last season, do you think the Heat can make a change and like heat it up for the rest of the season coming up? Or do you think they're pretty much topped out?
I mean, we have to remember last season during the regular season, I don't think anyone expected the Heat to be in the finals, you know?
That's true. That's very true.
I think it took them a while to build up their team chemistry. And I think it's just too early in the season to predict, you know, what's going to happen at the end of the season. With that being said, I think the Warriors are looking really hot right now, considering, you know, who they have on their team. I think them maybe grabbing Andre Drummond would be a huge score for them, because I know the Cavs just got Jared Allen. I think that would be great for the Warriors to get another strong center, because they do have James Wiseman on their team, who's a rookie. And, you know, he's a rookie. So, I mean, he's not as strong as he could be, but, you know, he definitely has potential. That's my little rant about the Warriors, since they are kind of my team in the NBA. But, yeah, I think it's just too early in the season to see what the Heat, you know, can do. They definitely have potential, though. Jimmy Butler, super dynamic player. We got Tyler Hero, my fave, who's also really young. It's his second year in the NBA. And Duncan Robinson, I mean, it's just too early to see, you know, what they're going to do. I think they're a young team and they have a bright future ahead of them.
You know, in regards to the Miami Heat, I actually disagree. I don't think Andre Drummond is going to be the end all be all to solve their midseason issues right now. I think really what they're lacking is in the offensive department, and that lack of.
I was saying Drummond should go to the Warriors, but yeah, continue.
Oh, Andre Drummond go to the Warriors. I mean, I'm not even sure about that. But talking about the Miami Heat, what they're lacking is in the offensive department, and they don't even have like a true scoring option. When they're leaning on Bam to be, and like Tyler Hero to be the number one scoring option, and I don't think that's the way to go. That's just not what they're. That's not the absolute strength of those two guys' skill sets. Really, what they need to go out and do is get Bradley Beal. I think they might have to do whatever it takes to get Bradley Beal if they really want to be contenders again, because right now they just don't have that same motivation. And I think a lot of it is due to their offensive issues right now. Like Jimmy Butler is not a reliable option. He's not going to give you 25 plus every night. That is not his game even. I mean, the other night he had a triple double, but he only had 13 points. So he is impacting the game in a lot of ways, but what they need most right now is scoring. And they really need to go out and get somebody that can do that for them.
Speaking of Andre Drummond, actually, I wanted to talk about Draymond Green's post-game interview from a couple of days ago. This was super interesting to watch. It was all over Twitter. That's the way I saw it. But long story short, obviously everyone knows Andre Drummond is being traded from the Cavs. They just announced that. And the Cavs actually told him halfway through the game a couple of days ago to go to the locker room, put on your clothes, you're not playing anymore. And they said they're not going to play him anymore. And so Draymond Green actually stated in a post-game interview how angry he was about that and how the NBA teams are not handling the players well, how they're not being treated with respect. He brought in how James Harden was treated when he wanted to be traded. And I wanted to ask you guys' opinion. What do you think about Draymond's interview?
I'll let Jake speak because I know he has a lot to say.
Jake has a lot to say about this.
You know, so my issue with Draymond Green was I actually agreed with his take even. A lot of players don't quite get the respect that they deserve. I think they get mistreated a lot in these situations because like the franchise more the fan base and the public feel like the players are quitting on the team. And that's just not the case at the time. I think when they were requesting a trade is, a lot of these situations are just not great situations. I mean, like Anthony Davis is not in a great situation with the New Orleans Pelicans at the time. And it was easy to see why that he would even want to trade in the first place. Like it made a ton of sense. They weren't doing a ton to support him. It's tough to attract people to New Orleans and the Pelicans franchise. There's plenty of situations like that throughout history, but Draymond Green, I think the big mistake he made, like right off the bat, even was pointing out examples like James Harden. And I think he talked about Kyrie a little bit, how his mental health is affected by all the noise and whatnot. And I thought these guys totally brought it on themselves. Like James Harden, Houston gave everything they had to James Harden. They tried to build the franchise around him. They had constant moving pieces. They had Chris Paul, they had Russell Westbrook. And then all of a sudden you had the band of misfits this season, John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins. And he barely even gave the Rockets team this season the time of day. He gave them 9 games, and then after that, he said, "I'm out. I'm not dealing with this. I'm not here for, you know, whatever this is." I mean, he probably looked at it more as a rebuild, but that's not what Houston was doing. I mean, it just seemed like James Harden, he was absolutely dogging it the last couple of days. Draymond even said in the post-game press conference, like he admitted he was dogging it. So it makes you question, why would Draymond even bring up that example when he's making this argument? It just doesn't make him look as credible. And Draymond's he's a very smart guy. And I mean, he is a big trash talker, obviously, you've seen that throughout the years. But I think the way he just presented this argument was horrible. I mean, James Harden absolutely quit on the Houston Rockets and demanded a trade and got his wish to go to the Brooklyn Nets and form the most toxic trio in superstar history with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. And I'm glad James Harden is happy because he has two other superstars to play with. Meanwhile, Houston, even with a new regime in place, they were trying to still please James Harden and they weren't able to do it. I'm sorry, John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Christian Wood, and other good players weren't quite enough. So, I mean, and then there was other things that he brought up too that I didn't exactly agree with. I mean, yeah, Kyrie's mental health. Kyrie, I think Kyrie brought a lot of things on himself. Like playing with LeBron James is one of the best things that could ever happen to you, in my opinion, if you're in the NBA and you're another superstar that exists in the same era as LeBron. And he took that for granted, and he wanted to go somewhere where he could be the guy, and he could be the leading cause for why his team would be responsible for a future championship. So eventually he gets his wish. He goes to the Celtics, and the Celtics were about sacrificing for each other. They kind of have that Utah Jazz mindset. He didn't like that. He didn't mesh with Brad Stevens for whatever reason. And he said he would even re-sign with the Celtics, and then he doesn't re-sign. And then he tests free agency a year later and he gets to go and he chooses the Brooklyn Nets with Kevin Durant, who Kevin Durant isn't exactly the greatest leader in the world by any means. And so, and then they are having problems in the year that he doesn't have KD, his first season there, because KD is injured. He was obviously out for the season and he didn't like what was going on. The team was obviously nowhere close to winning a championship. So then he kind of struggled with the season, didn't even play the full season. He had some injuries here and there as well. And so that season was kind of a wash, you know, sweep it under the rug and you move on next season. KD's back. Now we're focused winning the championship. And then he still wasn't happy and he was still dealing with issues and he takes time off. Doesn't say when he's going to be back. Takes his job for completely for granted, treats. And he was kind of a slap in the face to the GM and head coach Steve Nash. And now he's happy that he finally got another superstar that he can play with in James Harden. Like,
interesting take on that. I thought it was quite entertaining. Draymond's a funny guy. He's a character. We all know that. He's a player that is not afraid to speak his mind. I almost think of him kind of like Richard Sherman. If something's on his mind, he's going to say it no matter what it is, if it's controversial or not. But yeah, at the end of the day, I do agree with you, Jake. These players get treated like kings out there. They get paid so much money to play a game they love and they're so passionate about, and they totally take it for granted because, oh, they're not on a winning team, or, you know, they're not getting whatever. And it's just, it's a little ridiculous looking at it from like an outside perspective. Then again, I can't put myself in their shoes or their situations because I will never be an amazing male basketball player getting paid tons of millions of dollars. But you know, looking at it from my perspective, I think it's a little BS too.
Yeah, no, like, and there's certainly players that were absolutely disrespected in the trading process, like Harrison Barnes finding out, I think on the bench, that he got traded. Didn't even get to be told by an executive or even his head coach, I think. And so he has to leave mid-game, you know, exit the game mid-game. And there's plenty of situations like that. And I'm not saying players need to shut up and just play and just accept the millions that they're making. I'm not saying that at all. Like, franchises, they should all be competent, well-run, and treat players with the same decency that they're trading their coworkers with. But, I mean, he brought up Andre Drummond as well. And Andre Drummond, the Cavs were very transparent and straightforward with him. They said, hey, we don't want you to play because we're looking to find a trade for you. So we want you to just not playing any games. You're going to be in street clothes, sit on the bench. You can absolutely come to all these games. You can attend, be on the bench, be a team player. We just don't want you actually playing. And Andre Drummond, he's getting paid not to play. That's a dream situation almost, in a sense. It's the second best thing besides playing for a championship team and winning an NBA finals. So, like, he also bringing up Andre Drummond, that was just one of the dumbest things you could have done, because Andre Drummond absolutely does not fit the bill whatsoever.
I don't know if that's like a dream for player or the second best option for their, you said them being hurt and getting paid to do nothing. I feel like these players are so mad when they get hurt. They have to go to all these games and like watch their team, you know, play basketball or whatever, and they have to sit on the bench and they can't help them out on the court. And I don't know, that would just make me so mad. It's something I love so much and you can't do it. But I mean, at the end of the day, they are getting paid a ton of money. I don't know, Megan, what do you think?
Well, I had a kind of a different take on this than you two, but I do agree, like, after hearing it with some of your points. But when I watched this interview, the thing that I was thinking was, yes, maybe Draymond Green did not use the best evidence, but he is trying to make a stand and say that these players need to be treated like human beings and not just like pieces of chess in a game. That's the way that I took it. So you can have certain, I guess, like certain circumstances where, like Jake, you said, like there's definitely like wrong and right ways to handle it and stuff. But when it comes to Andre Drummond, I, like you said, Nicole, like he probably wants to play. Like he wants to play, but he literally halfway through a game was told, no, you're being traded. You can go put on your normal clothes. You still have to practice. You still have to come to every single game or else you get fined. So that's where Draymond Green is saying, like, we're being forced to do all these things, even when he's not allowed to play anymore, because they literally said you're bench, but he still has to look professional. He still has to be at every single practice and everything. So in my opinion, I mean, it's where the NBA and the NFL, some of these GMs, they're taking too much power over it. But then you have to take a step back. And like you two said, is like they sign up for this. They're getting paid millions of dollars. So I still think that the players do need to be treated with more respect. But I can see the other side as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah, real quick. I just want to clarify. I'm not saying being injured and getting paid to not play is the way to go. That's not what I said. Andre Drummond just has to wait out this process until he gets traded to a better team, inevitably. And because there's so many people vying for his services. And then Draymond was saying his mental health is at stake. That's no, Andre Drummond is doing just fine. And the Cavs were very transparent about what they want to do with Andre Drummond's future. And I'm sure Andre Drummond is perfectly fine with that. Like he does not want to stick around for the rest of his prime with the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are not in position to win the finals right now. So no, Andre Drummond is in a great situation because he just has to wait. I'm sure it's only going to be a matter of days even. I don't even know if it's maybe a couple of weeks at the very most until he is in a new place with a team that is ready to win now and motivated to win now.
Quick little side note about Andre Drummond. My sister's friend was at a bar in Nashville and her twin sister, some random guy like came up and started buying us drinks. Like apparently he's in the NBA. And I was like, oh, Casey, who is it? And she was like, his name's Andre Drummond. And I was like, Andre Drummond is buying like Danny and her sister drinks. I thought that was pretty wild. I was like, dang, I want an NBA.
You always have such good stories, Nicole. I don't know where you come up with these.
That wasn't me. That was a friend. So I just thought that was
she wishes these were her stories and her experiences, but they're just not quite. So the second best thing is relaying the message. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. For the pod. Yeah. Everything is for the pod. Okay, well, now we're on the topic of being traded, players wanting out. Let's talk to Sean. So this is a different situation where he wants out of Houston, but his team will not let him. So when you're talking about like James Harden, he pretty much stopped practicing. He threw a fit enough to get traded to the Nets. Do you think Deshaun Watson has to do the same thing? Should he stay professional? Is he going to get released? What do you guys think about that?
You know, I think Deshaun Watson, everything about him from day one has been professional. So I don't think he would be willing to go to ridiculous like James Harden, Kyrie Irving type lengths where he would act out and make like diminish his trade value, just sabotage, you know, his trade value and eventually get his way sooner rather than later. I don't think that's the Deshaun way. I don't see him doing that. But I do think it's interesting that Carolina emerged as this front runner over the past week because they're apparently willing to do quote unquote whatever it takes. And up their proposed package, I looked something like 3 first round picks plus Christian McCaffrey. So that is a super steep price to pay for Deshaun Watson. And I kind of do think the Panthers would be a great fit because they do have Joe Brady, that offensive mind. The passing game would be awesome with Deshaun in the fold and the weapons they have a wide receiver right now. I think it would click from day one. And then you also have Matt Rhule. I think Matt Rhule's competitiveness would gel very well with what Deshaun Watson wants, you know, going forward. But I don't know. That's a ridiculous price. I'm not sure if Carolina actually offered that, but it seems like that's what the rumor is right now. It's word on the street that Carolina is trying to do that. And I don't know. I think that's a little interesting. I mean, you just paid Christian McCaffrey too. You just made him the highest paid running back, face of the franchise. And now you're saying, oh, no, we're going to send you to Houston. That's kind of a bad way to do business with your players and player relations. So I don't know. That doesn't seem like it seems like a very Carolina thing to do, just with how aggressive things Matt Rhule has been. You know, just everything about him is, you know, we're competitive. We're going to be physical and we want to win. But at the same time, it doesn't seem like a great way to do things if you involve Christian McCaffrey in the deal.
I think if the Panthers got Deshaun Watson, that would make their offense stupid good. They have great tools, especially in their wide receivers, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, and Robbie Anderson. I don't know if it's worth losing Christian McCaffrey since he is kind of their like franchise running back. But honestly, anywhere Deshaun goes, I think that makes that team so, so much better. I think he was so underrated on the Texans, and just Deshaun going to any team. I mean, any team that needs a quarterback, you know, not like the Packers or the Seahawks. hopefully not the Seahawks.
Oof, oof.
I was actually talking to my dad about the talk with Russell Wilson, and he was like, well, if Wilson left, you know, it'd be kind of cool. Like, maybe they could get TJ Watt. Maybe they could get all these other good players because they have to pay Wilson so much money. I'm like, that would open up some cap space.
I mean, first of all, the Seahawks only make transactions like that for defensive players. They're not interested in making any offensive deals. They've proven that over the years. And secondly, are you that confident in Seattle's ability to go draft and develop a quarterback? Because they've got, I mean, it doesn't seem like they've been able to draft very well at all over the last decade, besides that 2012 draft, which is legendary.
Yeah, they got Wilson. DK, I mean, yeah, you're kind of right, but whatever the Seahawks do, I'm going to root for them and hope whatever they do it well.
I want JJ Watt to Green Bay. I don't know. I don't know about you guys.
We all want TJ Watt.
I know. Like, he's coming to my team. Okay, but hey, I don't know if you guys saw the headlines everywhere. My Instagram is blown up. Carson Wentz is now going to play for the this is a really hard word, Indianapolis Colts. There you go. Words are hard. Anyway, I don't know why this made such big news. Like, why are we still paying attention to Carson Wentz? He literally was the worst quarterback in the NFL last year. Yes, maybe two seasons ago, he was pretty good. But all of a sudden, this is, like, causing such, like, rifts in the NFL. And so, I honestly, though, I think the reason the Colts went and got him is because they believe they can pull out the old Carson Wentz that we used to see. And so they have a top 10 defense. They have pretty good offensive weapons. And so the GM said that he thinks that they can like reinstill, heat up the old Carson Wentz that we used to see. So do you guys think this is a good fit? Do you think it was a good trade?
Yes, I do think this is a good trade. I think this has the potential to be a win-win for both sides. I was trying to identify like a clear loser in this. I couldn't really do that. I think both sides actually got the better end of this deal because the Eagles still have a backup plan with Jalen Hurts. If they, for some reason, they don't like Jalen Hurts, they don't believe in him, and the new coach, Nick Sirianni, doesn't like him, they can go out and get a quarterback at number six. Or it's just going to make it even that much easier to trade up for one of the top quarterback prospects and make sure they have their guy. But, I mean, when you think about this from the Colts' perspective, I mean, Carson Wentz, I mean, there's a reason this guy's making the news. I mean, he's no pushover. This is a guy that was almost the MVP in 2017 because his season was that good. And this is a guy that had a lot of success under Frank Reich. And that hit Frank Reich, a lot of people believe Carson Wentz's success from that season was largely due to Frank Reich being the offensive coordinator. So apparently their personalities mesh well. Maybe a change of scenery is exactly what Carson Wentz needed. And I think Indianapolis gives him the best opportunity to succeed because you have Frank Reich. You have an offensive line for once, and a lot of Carson Wentz's issues were directly associated to having poor offensive line play all of last season. And he had to deal with that in 2019, but for some reason he was much better against the pressure and outside the pocket in 2019. But 2020, I think there were less of those opportunities for him to make plays outside the pocket because the offensive line was even that much worse. So now he gets to experience a great offensive line in Indianapolis, something Andrew Luck never got to have, unfortunately. Oh, yeah, this also silences all those rumors that Andrew Luck was going to come out of retirement. Those kind of were heating up on the Pat McAfee show, kind of gave me some hope. I thought Andrew Luck actually was going to come back for a hot minute, but that's not going to happen, it looks like, at least in Indianapolis. So, but yeah, and then you look at the Eagles. the Eagles were really wanted to get rid of Carson Wentz. I mean, they took a ridiculous dead cap hit to get rid of him. It was something in the 30 millions for this season. And especially when you're already down in the dumps and the salary cap, they had negative cap space before the salary cap adjustment. And so they're trying to do things to get back above that negative cap space. And now you make this move. I mean, at least they got a conditional second round pick out of it. That's really a conditional first round pick. It looks like it will be a first round pick, barring anything unforeseen. I mean, you think the Colts will be in the playoff discussion. They will be in the playoff hunt. And that means Carson Wentz is likely going to be the starter for that. So that means that conditional second round pick will be a first round pick for the Philadelphia Eagles. So it seems like the Philadelphia Eagles, they didn't have a ton of leverage, I think. And they were able to get this deal done and walk away with what I think will be a first round pick when it's all said and done. You still got that third round pick this year as well. And the Colts didn't have to give up a first round pick this year, which I think is huge. So they can go out and draft a key impact starter this year to fuel that championship window now that you have potentially with Carson Wentz. So I don't know. I really like this deal for all sides. And I think when it's all said and done, we could see Carson Wentz return to being a top 10 quarterback. Because if there was a situation where that could happen, it's Indianapolis.
What if Tim Tebow came back? What if he was just like, guys, I'm going to play football again? He's like, I will play for the Niners. that would be like, good.
So random.
Because you talked about Andrew Luck coming out of retirement. I was like, Tim Tebow?
The only thing Megan took away with that from my whole entire speech,
Tim Tebow.
what she was thinking about Tim Tebow.
Yeah, can we do a little throwback Thursdays? Does everyone remember like when people would like Tebow at like recess?
And yeah.
Like,
oh, me. Can we do that? Yeah. Oh, man. That was good. I'm so Jake, it was a fantastic take, by the way. I agree with you. 2000%.
Thank you. I had so many ideas running through my head that I was jumping back and forth between why, oh my God, this is great for the Colts. Oh no, this is great for the Eagles. Oh, this is bad for the Eagles. Wait, no, this is kind of weird for the Colts.
But what if Tim Tebow came back? It would solve everyone's problems. The NFL would be fixed.
Who is he playing for? That's my question. Like, who's trying to get Tim Tebow to be their starting quarterback?
The Jets. Yes.
Yeah, the Jets are just going to do away with that number two pick. They want Tebow back. They regret letting him go. They need some direction. I did not know Tim Tebow was even going to be a point of discussion on today's episode. I had no idea.
That's going to be my next segment, is Megan bringing up old players and Jake having to put them on a team. That's a new segment.
Oh, my God. That would be really challenging. Well, I guess if there's a spot for Tim Tebow, there must be a spot for everybody else.
Exactly. There we go. Okay, let's talk some free agents. So Jake actually was bringing up an interesting point, the Tom Brady effect. I had to go Google this, even though it's probably self-explanatory, but the Tom Brady effect. Jake, do you want to explain it or do you want me to explain it?
Let me go first. So this is actually
a definition on the internet.
No, this is a kind of an umbrella term for me. Actually, I want you guys to try to guess it first before I go into this.
Okay, this is with my research, this is my guess. I was thinking that Tom Brady just attracts free agents because they want to go play with him because they know they can get him, or he can get them a Lombardi trophy. That's my guess.
Wait, that's not what you're talking about. Okay, what are you talking about then, Jake? What are you talking about?
But no, this is an umbrella term. There's a lot of things, a lot of moving pieces. With the Tom Brady effect. So Tom Brady, he goes and he chooses Tampa Bay. Why does he choose Tampa Bay? Because Tampa Bay, it's fun. It's a way more positive culture. I mean, the weather's way better. But most importantly, they had the most talented roster in need of a quarterback, and they gave him the weapons that New England and Bill Belichick could never give him. Okay? So, and oh, add in the fact that they let Gronk and AB come with and tag along. This easily made them the most complete team in the entire league, no question. I felt like it was only a matter of time before things clicked. They were able to flip the switch and they became a Super Bowl contender. And we saw that happen. So immediately they win a Super Bowl in year one. If they didn't win the Super Bowl this year, I wouldn't have been too mad about it, because it's year one. The typical rule is that you give quarterbacks and coordinators or head coaches, you give them 2 years. That second year, they're going to pop. And Tom Brady, he only needed 1 year because he's that good. So now you have other teams scrambling to keep up with the Bucs. Russell Wilson, he just wants what Tom has. He just wants a little say in the personnel. He wants some weapons. He wants an offensive line that can actually block once in a while on prime time. I mean, there's just little simple things here and there. I mean, the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, they were immediately having internal issues the next day after the loss to the Bucs. That's the Tom Brady effect. The LA Rams, they get hyper aggressive as not before the Super Bowl even happens, and they trade multiple first round picks to the Detroit Lions for Matthew Stafford. I'm not sure Matthew Stafford is even worth multiple first round picks, if I'm being completely honest. But that's just the LA Rams. And that was fueled, I think, a lot in part due to Tom Brady. And it went from playing catch up with the Kansas City Chiefs and the dynasty in the making to now playing catch up once again with Tom Brady and his new team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And you guys can't stand it. And Tom Brady just hasn't quite passed the torch to Patrick Mahomes as the face of the league just yet. And I'm enjoying every single part of this right now.
I love how you had to first call out Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, both of our teams. You had to start with those. No, but I honestly, so my definition is way different, but I 2000% agree with you, because that could honestly be a big reason of why we're seeing so much quarterback scramble and all these crazy trades going on. Because you're like you said, everyone needs to compete with Tom Brady. Everyone wants what he has and how good he is, and everyone wants a trophy. So that's an interesting take. I like that.
I mean, he also sent Drew Brees into retirement. I mean, that's just how powerful this guy is. Like, just saying.
I don't know if he sent Drew Brees into retirement. I think Drew Brees chose to retire.
Nicole won't give Brady anything. Nothing.
I will. He has 7 ranks. He's freaking annoying.
Actually, I just got a notification on my phone. LeBron just reached 35,000 points in his career. So bravo to that. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Moving up on the all-time scoring list. I don't know exactly what number he is, but he's up there. He's up there.
Yeah. I think he's number 3 now. That's impressive.
Number 3. Yeah. Yeah. Only 2 more guys to go. Oh, wait, no, hold on. I got one more thing. I got one more thing before you shift. So also one more thing about the Tom Brady effect that I completely forgot to mention. These guys loved playing with him so much in less than a year that they already wanted to take pay cuts like Tom Brady himself to come back and run it back and win another Super Bowl. I mean, you have guys that could be earning top dollar anywhere else. Levante David, one of the top linebackers in the NFL. He already said he wants to come back, and it seems like he will take a pay cut. Yeah, Ndamukong Suh, not necessarily going to get a big payday anywhere else, but he could easily go retire. But no, instead, he wants to come back and run it back and win another Super Bowl. And then you also have Shaq Barrett, guy who led the league in sacks in 2019. He wants to come back and team up with JPP and be another ridiculous defense once again on the way to another Super Bowl. And, Jason Pierre-Paul, by the way, never lost a playoff game. So if you have JPP on your team in the postseason, things are looking pretty good for you, just saying. So it's just things like that. It seems like everything is going way more smoothly in Tampa Bay than things ever did in New England. And especially when Tom Brady he's basically the head coach. He's basically the GM now. he's everything but the owner, I guess. I'm sure that Tampa already gave him the key to the city, though, after winning the Super Bowl one year. that is coming next. And I wouldn't be surprised if he was the owner at some point, because that is the Tom Brady effect.
Oh, man. Well, if you guys want to pick our next topics that we talk about, you can either find me at the Juice Bar, or you can follow me on Instagram at mtownsley with 2 Ys, or on Twitter at Megan Townsley. Please DM me. Appreciate it.
Go follow me. Nick Time for Sports. Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Thanks. Beautiful.
And if you want to see what's really popping, you got to go to LinkedIn. LinkedIn's the way to go.
There we go.
Yeah, go to LinkedIn. Literally, it's looking every day. Favorite app. LinkedIn's great.
Yeah, LinkedIn, that's the way to go for her. You guys know the drill. I have no idea how to navigate LinkedIn, so that is not what I use. Do not try to get me there. Even if you find me, do not try to reach me there. No, reach me at Twitter is preferred, at JakeBird419. Instagram is the same. If you do have a question, try to send me the question at the same time as you're trying to follow me. It would make a lot more sense, because I'm just not as open. I'm not public on my Instagram. Twitter's public, way easier.
There we go. And make sure you guys check out the other podcasts on KCR Radio on Spotify and SoundCloud for San Diego State. But we'll see you guys next week.
Exit music!